Garfield, and we are broadcasting live from Tacoma. And I am a cannabis educator and activist that lives here in Washington. And I am joined by Uncle Dig, my co-host, who lives down in Oregon. How are you doing today, Uncle Dig?
Hey, Lucas. I'm doing great. You know, harvest is coming in. I've got plants hanging, plants in jars. I'm just getting up and running indoor, and that's doing really well. I am having a great time.
Yeah, it is that time of year, and we're going to get to some stories here in a minute where the cannabis harvest isn't quite turning out well for everybody, and I have a story to share later in the show. It didn't quite turn out well for me either. You know, I had an interesting week in cannabis, too. The Liquor Control Board here in the state is having some social equity listening sessions, and they've had two, and I attended the second one, and apparently the first one, sparks were really flying. There's some accusations of racism in the Liquor and Cannabis Board. Anybody who's listened to this show, we've talked about 5052, which merged the recreational system and the medical system, and there's just a lot of evidence that that whole entire process was skewed. And we ended up with a situation, and it almost mirrors the drug war, where we have a lot of African-American and people of color cannabis entrepreneurs who were left behind while a bunch of white folks with money came in and took over the industry. And I'm wondering if you guys kind of saw the same thing down there in Oregon, Dig.
I would say that the racial component maybe wasn't as large of a problem, just because unfortunately we're not really quite as diverse down here in Oregon as we could be, although that's changing. But there was definitely a class element to it, if you will. A lot of the smaller mom and pop places that were running under medical just got bowled over by these big medical guys when they were able to consolidate more and more larger grows. And really the only mom and pop being like small family run or LLC, you know, dispensaries or farms, the way that those people were able to survive was to band together and kind of do a lot of vertical integration and stuff. But a lot of the small mom and pop stuff down in Oregon is slowly getting taken over by outsiders.
So we're going to get on to our first story, which is out of Wisconsin, and it's all about the election. And this story talks about how in Wisconsin, back in 2018, they had some elections. They had 16 counties that passed some type of cannabis initiative. And here we go. It seems like we cannot get away from talking about him. Mr. Trump is saying that those cannabis initiatives swayed the elections to Democrats. And it kind of looks like he might be right, that actually more Democrats do support cannabis.
Yeah, it does seem that way. This article was from Leafy. It's written by a really excellent cannabis journalist named David Bienenstock. He talks about how Trump was advising Mr. Walker to try to remove cannabis from the ballot if he could. Obviously, he didn't have the power to do so, and it resulted in bad results for him. But this is something that we are seeing. Republicans are starting to identify cannabis legalization as a turnout point for the opposition. And this causes me some concern, because recently what the public stand of Republicans has seemed to be is just to not talk about it as much as possible. Maybe work against it behind the scenes, but not talk about being against cannabis openly. I worry now that there may be cannabis may become even more part of the culture war than it already is, and that Republicans may try to reinitiate the drug war and may even in some capacity start cracking down on legal states again if they win in 2020. If they're able to hold on to the Senate and the White House, I think that we may start seeing cannabis crackdowns in legal state moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know. If you remember John Boehner, who used to be the Speaker of the House for the Republicans, he is starting to get into cannabis, and then some of the southern states are starting to bring on cannabis, but a lot of it is medical cannabis. And then President Trump has given some support for medical cannabis at the beginning of his presidency. And it's just like many things in his life, he actually experienced people near him who use medical cannabis, and therefore he thinks it's okay. And of course, he doesn't have anybody around him using cannabis for adult use or recreational use, so it's therefore a bad thing. And I hope you're wrong about this becoming part of the culture wars, because it used to be part of the culture wars, and it kind of seemed to me like with legalization, we started to get some agreement from the two parties that the cannabis drug war needed to end. And even here in Washington, when the 5052 bill passed, some of the most ardent medical cannabis allies down in Olympia are still to this day are Republicans, believe it or not.
Well, and I don't disagree with you that a lot of conservatives have compassionately come around on cannabis, but I don't think there's anything compassionate about the current Republican majority. Now, you can say, you can pick these isolated cases, and a Washington Republican is far different than a Texas Republican, I assure you. I will say that I worry that that 40% core that the president has, that really, you know, spiteful, hateful core of supporters that will always vote with for him no matter what they do, what he does. I worry that they may take that to heart, and the large majority of the Republicans may follow suit. I hope I'm wrong too. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. That's possible.
Well, you just never know with these folks, and you are definitely right. If President Trump points his finger at cannabis and says that that is the problem, then his followers will definitely jump on that. So next up, we're going to move on to a story out of Southern Oregon. And this is a really sad story. And we've talked about this 2 weeks ago. This is a store called Canyon Cannabis. And it was down in a town. Did you catch the name of that town?
It was Gates, Oregon. And it's just to the east of Salem off of Highway 22, I believe. And the store that they're talking about is Canyon Cannabis. And it apparently was this lovely little store where the owner would play records and play his banjo, and he had a piano in the foyer, and it sounds amazing. And I really wish I had heard about it before the fires. It sounds beautiful. And he lost everything.
Yeah, and the fire came through, and after the fire, they had glassware there, and of course, all the cannabis burned up, but the only thing left of the glassware was like a pile of, quote, art, and then they had some metal left from the banjo and the piano, and as a record collector myself, I go ahead and tell you those records were a big pile of plastic. They probably just vaporized, and so it's really a sad story, but the real sad story is this is happening all the time, all over the country, the cannabis industry, in the cannabis industry, because it's a Schedule I narcotic, a lot of banks, and more importantly almost, a lot of insurance companies won't cover cannabis. And so let's say you're growing tomatoes and your tomato crop molds out. Well, if you're a good tomato farmer, you're going to have crop insurance. There is no such crop insurance if your cannabis farm gets burned down.
No, you don't have crop insurance. You don't have access to federal banking. So the other, like, so his safe burned up. Most of his money was probably in that safe because you can't bank as a cannabis business. So this poor man who has created this beautiful environment in this small town has lost everything, and he doesn't know if he's going to be able to do it again. And that might be over. And if he was a refrigeration company, he would have insurance and he would be able to rebuild.
And a lot of the crops went bad too. They were saying that the smoke damage causes damage to the plants. The buds finish too early, so they're too small. Smoke can contaminate the flower, so they're actually having to test all the bud to make sure there's no heavy metal contamination. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to be seeing the end of this fallout from the fires for a little while now.
No. I think a lot of cannabis is going to be thrown out or composted. I was optimistic. I had some friends who from my old medical days who told me that, hey, the industry's just wolfing, you know, whatever. You know, they're going to do fine. It's going to turn around. We're going to have a big harvest. But it's not looking like those optimistic reports were true. It's looking like the harvest is going to be fairly bad. I know I've never had my plants finished this early. I've never been done in early October completely when I've had this many plants. I had one plant I expected to take at the end of October that's hanging right now. It's been weird. I do feel like I've personally lost a little bud weight, but I'm growing for personal use, so I should be fine. The farmers that are trying to make money, if the bud is, let's say, 20 or 30% smaller, that's a substantial decrease in yield, and that's going to affect them very negatively.
So we're going to move on to our next story, and this is a story and a topic that we cover a lot on this show, and this is talking about cannabis arrest. And there is a new study out that says cannabis arrests are down, but it's in fact not good news, because cannabis arrests still are 35% of all drug arrests. There is a cannabis arrest every 58 seconds in America, Dig.
That's horrible. And I'm noticing some other interesting statistics in this article, specifically that we're arresting more people for cannabis than we are arresting people for murder, robbery, rape, and embezzlement combined. And that goes to show that the drug war has permanently altered the footing of American police to police, you know, nonviolent behavior rather than punish and take care of people that are actually committing violent crimes. And that's not good. Now, there is some other interesting statistics in here as well. It says Texas arrests are down 30%. And if you'd have told me 2 years ago that Texas would slow down on cannabis enforcement, I wouldn't have believed you. But we've seen some decriminalization go through in some county areas. Harris County, Texas, has turned possession of less than an ounce into a ticket, kind of like it was in Oregon for a while. And I think some other places around Austin have tried, but the Texas governor is very insouciant. And anytime Austin tries to do anything progressive, he brings outside forces in to crack down on Austin. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's interesting because the reason why they're not, one of the big reasons why, because you were saying they have the decriminalization efforts, and this is happening around the country too, but one of the interesting things is they have legalized hemp. So they're busting, and so the police have found themselves busting like large amounts of what they think is cannabis, but it turns out to be hemp. And I've seen a couple stories, and I think we covered some on our It's a Bust, where they're busting like truckloads
right?
And you know, they're like, oh, we got the mother load, guys. And then they take it back and it's hemp.
Dude, and if it's hemp for extraction, it smells just like cannabis does.
Yeah.
They grow the CBD hemp down the road, huge farms of it. You drive down the highway, it smells just like weed.
So our last story in our news section is talking about Arizona is going to vote on legal cannabis. And this is Prop, what is it, 209?
207.
And this is Prop 207. And this thing actually will allow people in Arizona over 21 to buy cannabis, and it does have home grows in there, Dig.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, and so it will be better off than Washington because people will be able to cultivate. And this is the second time they've been trying to get this thing going. I'm thinking it's going to pass this time.
I feel like enough people who vote in Arizona have seen medical cannabis there, if not thrive, survive, and they've seen no ill effect. And so I think that you're right. I think they may pass it. Although something that's interesting is that the Arizona Medical Association that has said that they're strongly opposed to Prop 207, calling it not safe for Arizona. And what I will say to the Arizona Medical Association is you had your chance. All these medical associations had their chance to be a part of drug reform, and instead they helped the drug war. So it doesn't matter what they think.
No, they have had their say, and that say is called the opiate crisis. We see what we've seen what they can do if they are allowed to just do whatever they want to. And I hope this passes. And actually, one of the people in the article that I was reading was a medical patient, and this was real interesting. She was saying that she wants the prop to pass because it's too hard to get her medical card. And it's just too difficult to handle all that. So let's just get a recreational use so everybody can just go in and use it. And I found that real interesting, considering in Washington, it's kind of the same thing going on, where they made the medical so difficult that you can't get it. And so people are just saying, okay, no adult use. And this kind of helps tank the medical sector.
Hey guys, it's 9/12/2020, and this is Uncle Dig with a garden update. Pardon my voice, it's been very smoky in Southern Oregon where I live. It was in the low 50s when I went out to do my garden chores. It was a hellish nightmarescape with a bloody sun glaring at me through the apocalyptic haze. But it was cool yesterday, so I didn't have to water this morning. When dealing with a normal amount of wildfire smoke, I generally rinse my plants off thoroughly every morning as I try to get the ash out, as it is more important to me than worrying about mold, as I am in Southern Oregon with low humidity and is still relatively warm, and also on fire. So rinse your plants. I have never experienced wildfire, ash, and smoke this bad while growing cannabis in my life. I will let y'all know how my cannabis turns out in a few months. Let's wish us all luck. I harvested strawberry croff this last week, and it has been drying in my garage for about 3 days. It is hanging in branches with all of the water leaves chopped off. I don't use air conditioning, but if it gets too cold, I will heat the room with a space heater sometimes. I also use a small one-room humidifier and a small one-room dehumidifier to manage humidity in my garage. I shoot for a relative humidity level of 45 to 55%, although I don't always achieve that. I cover everything with painter's plastic for ease of cleanup after trimming and bucking. I use a box fan to keep air circulating. Air circulation is important to keep humidity from spiking around your drying colas, leading to mold and botrytis. You can set up many different drying areas in many different ways, and you really have to do what's best for you. The way I've described above is just the way I do it and has no bearing on how you should do it. Different humidity levels, moisture levels, and, you know, different weather require different steps be taken in the drying room. With the air quality as bad as it has been, let's hope everyone is taking the time to rinse their plants or harvest early. Guys, your garden or your harvest are not worth your life. If you were one of the areas affected by a natural disaster, when it's time to leave, leave. Well, that's it for my garden update. Thanks, Lucas. Let's overgrow the world.
Yeah, Dig, another interesting garden report, and you were reporting back from September 12th, and that was right in the middle of all that smoke. And so how did your plants turn out? Were you able to get all that smoke rinsed off of them?
Yeah. Luckily enough, with the smoke, we were having wildfires. It's unseasonably warm. It was unseasonably warm. So I was able to spray off the plants with my hose every morning, right when it started to get warm, so it would dry off. I luckily didn't have any problems with mold, but I had some pretty severe problems with pests. The smoke seems to make it more humid than it normally is this time of year when it's hot. And so the pests seem to really like that. And so I had an explosion of aphids. People have been dealing with caterpillars. I lost the majority of one of my plants, Elfstone, to caterpillars. We talked about that, but it had another infestation. And I had an outdoor plant that the yield was in the single digits as far as ounces. It was not a good yield because of how much I lost to pests. I know a lot of other growers have experienced the environment change as unfamiliar with the smoke, so it's caused some confusing feedback from the plants. I had 2 weeks where the sun was almost completely blocked out, so you could look like at the sun and not almost see it because the smoke was so thick.
Wow.
There was trees down the street I couldn't see. Visibility was down to about 25 meters in some areas. So it got dark during the day. It would seem like it was 7:30 at night and it'd be noon. And the plants stopped building bud weight like they normally do and started acting like they were finishing. And I do believe it caused mine to finish unseasonably early. And it was like that for 2 weeks. So I'm losing yield here in my hobby garden. I'm sure they're losing it out in the hills. And also other farms have burned completely down. Whole harvests have gone up in smoke.
Yeah, and I had a couple plants in an outdoor legal medical garden here, and they also were damaged by the smoke, and they went to mold pretty early. I never was able to catch exactly when it happened, but I think they did start budding a little early, and they did flower early because they really sort of changed earlier than I expected, so I wasn't ready. And then we had all that smoke, and so it just coated the plants in it, and then we had all that rain. And you know, a lot of spores come in with all that smoke because mold and stuff is everywhere on the forest floor. And then when the smoke and the fire, it blows it all up in the air. And so that was just waiting on the rain to come in. The rain smashed down the plants. And then when I got back around to it, when things kind of dried out, boom, mold hit. And, you know, mold's a fungus, as we know, and it covered the whole plant, gone. I threw away yesterday a whole entire armload of cannabis, and it was really sad, but it happens. And you just got to kind of be like, well, I guess that's farming. You learn something. You just never know with the cannabis plant. I know we say it's a hardy plant, but it can really give you some problems when you're growing if the environment gets a little wacky.
Yeah. It's a hardy plant, but stuff can go wrong. And a lot of times stuff goes wrong late in the season. You know, if you have a small outbreak of powdery mildew and veg, you may be able to mitigate that without too much trouble because you can spray, you know, whatever, citric acid on it, whatever, capsaicin, something to kind of knock back the mold without damaging the plant too much. I don't know if those would work for that. Luckily, I haven't had any problems with powdery mildew, knock on wood, but there's ways to do it and to mitigate it. But once you're in flower, you're really worried about damaging those delicate flower structures. So you're really scaling back on your treatment options. And so that can also cause some problems. So it's late in flower can be very touch and go. And that's why when you're growing outdoor, you really want to pay as much attention as you possibly can. And sometimes that means just going out in the garden twice a day. And even then, I know you do that and it can still sneak up on you. It's bad. And it can happen fast when the environment switches in a way that is atypical or that is not suitable for your current genetics.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. I am thinking that the strain that I had that went moldy, which was a cross between a Jack Herer, and then they said it was a pre-1998 Kush cross, which I don't really know what that means. This is where we go back to the names, and it's really hard to figure a lot of this out. But I do know that the Jack Herrera, however you pronounce it, I always say Jack Herrera. We do know that that kind of comes from a South American or a Mexican sativa, and I believe some Afghani crosses or something. But it's more sativa, and I have a feeling it was just susceptible to mold to begin with. And so now I know that I'm just going to cull that strain out of the lineup and just say, well, we can't use that again. And this is actually something that happens a lot in farming. So it's just a normal part of the process, but it's bad when it's your medicine.
It really is. And something I'll say to any grower out there, especially outdoor, indoor is a little bit different. You can really get a handle on that environment sometimes. But outdoor, if you've got flowers on and they're big and beautiful and you think they need a week to finish, but you've got a week of rain coming, sometimes it's better to harvest early and get a harvest than to wait and push it too far and lose everything. Because I've seen it happen. I've seen outdoor growers saying, I'm going to push it just another week. It'll be fine in the rain. And usually, and sometimes it is, and they'll get away with it for years. And then one day, it'll all mold out. It'll be 20 years they'll be getting away with it, and then it'll all mold out. So, and some of them will take a couple plants early as insurance, and that's something that I'll do sometimes if it's rain. If I've got more than two or three plants, I'll take one before the rains come in October. That way I've got something if the other ones have problems.
So now we're going to move on to our last segment of the show, and that's our It's a Bust segment. And this is where we talk about the drug war and some story around the country or the world where somebody has been arrested for cannabis. And this week is a story out of New York, and it's two older black gentlemen that were arrested. And the story goes basically how these stories go so many times. These guys were driving while black. They were pulled over, and the trooper, when they walked up to the window, they noticed, oh, a strong odor of marijuana. Well, it actually wasn't them smoking the marijuana. It looks to us like these poor guys were out getting their home grow for the season. And in the article, they say they were arrested with 5 bags of marijuana. Well, you know, it's garbage bags of marijuana because it's all still on the limbs and everything. And so it's just in the bags like that. It's not actually 5 garbage bags of cured flower. So the headline is misleading. But this article really gets to me because these poor gentlemen were just trying to get their medicine and take it back to Ohio. And they got pulled over, and they're two black men in their 60s, and now they're probably going to go to prison in New York, and it's just so sad.
They didn't have enough for resale. It wasn't prepped for resale, and I'm looking at it. It looks like the police hung it to show it off, and it looks like maybe a pound, maybe two of what looks like some decent outdoor grown. It looks like they grew their medicine somewhere in the woods, chopped it, put it in bags, were taking it home to trim and buck down and dry, and they got busted. And like you said, that's super sad. And this is not, I know it sounds like a lot, but if you grow, you know, 2 plants, you can come up with 5 garbage bags real quick outside. And it's just so sad that these poor guys are getting busted for this. And that's why we need to legalize home grow where we legalize it. We need to legalize it everywhere so that people can afford to provide for themselves in safety.
Well, that's our show for this week. I hope everybody has a great week, and I hope you have a good week too, Dig. See you guys next week.
This is Cannabis Corner, hosted by Lucas Barfield. If you would like to get in contact with your host, he is on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. Your musical selection is The Happy Monster by Chubby Jackson and his orchestra, recorded on 78 in 1947. You can find this music and much more at The Great 78 Project, an archive of historical music recordings at great78.archive.org. You are listening to 101.9 KTAH Radio Tacoma. Thank you.